Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so proud to be here this morning because this church is so drama one. Yeah. Let us commit this time to our Lord. Father Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for you have brought each and every one of us here this morning that we can celebrate Christmas together and be reminded that 2,000 years ago, out of your amazing love, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love that you are God, but did not consider God something to understand. But you emptied yourself of everything so that you can come down to earth to be a man. And not only man, you even obediently died on the cross so that all our sins can be forgiven. Holy Spirit, sweep through this sanctuary of yours and touch each and every one of our hearts in a special manner so that even as we leave this place, we have received a personal touch from you and our lives will be transformed and never the same again. In Christ's precious name, we pray and ask, Amen. Last month, I had the privilege to go to Jerusalem with some of my old church members in Ipoh. And I met this couple who were from my church in Ipoh for the last 28 years. I remember that when I was a young Christian with this couple, the wife was a Christian. However, the husband was not a Christian. And many times over the years, the husband will meet with me and my wife in the church and tells me, and sometimes she will even cry, and says that on a Sunday when she comes to church, the husband, being a Christian, object to her coming because the husband told her that on a Sunday I'm not working and I'm free. And on a Sunday you're working and you go to church. So we cannot have time together. And on top of that, this lady was also very active in church and she served in the Sunday school and she needed to rehearse for 2 Saturdays. And so she was in a great dilemma and she asked me, what shall she do? And then I refer her to God's word in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I told her that you go back and read the word of God and God will counsel you. Because here it says that for those wives whose husbands are not believers, you should win over your husband not by words of mouth and external appearance, but you should win over your husband who is not a Christian by your inner beauty, your purity and reverence for God and for him. And this year in March 2018, I was back in my church in Ipoh to preach, and I remembered after my sermon, and I was having fellowship with the church members, my old friend, this lady came and approached me after 28 years. And the first thing the Holy Spirit convicted me was to ask her, is your husband a Christian now? 28 years already. She said, no, my husband is still very stubborn. Then the Holy Spirit convicted me to tell her. I told her, can you please tell your husband that today is the right time. Don't wait anymore because you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And you see, this man had a heart attack. Luckily, they had a wash where he can get people to come and rescue him. And so this lady went back and told the husband what I said. And the Holy Spirit worked in his heart and convicted him. And then he wanted to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he was baptized. And so I was very surprised when I met him last month in Jerusalem, in the same group. And the first thing, when he saw me, he was just rushing and he just told me, you know, Dr. Tai, Jesus Christ impacted my life. I never knew. When I was baptized March this year, my life was turned around. And I know that Jesus is in me and he helps me and he gives me a sense of purpose and meaning in life. I'm so excited, as if I'm born again. I want to live my life. And now I enter into the church where there is the family of Christ and the brothers and sisters in the church. They are so helpful and encouraging. I wish I became a Christian many years ago. And that is why this morning on the Christmas Day, I want to share with you God's message about what is the family of Christ. And it is found in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. And God's word says that, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, so that he would adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. In these three short verses, there are three main points that I want to share with you. The first thing is, 2,000 years ago, it was the right time for God to send his Son. And Jesus is the right sacrifice for the forgiveness of the sin of the world and all our sin today. And God redeemed us and buys us back from sin so that he can adopt us as children. And those who are adopted as children now are in this larger spiritual family of Christ. And that is what we are. When the right time came, God sent his Son. God is sovereign and almighty. He controls time and the whole universe. His timing to send his Son is always perfect and right on time. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, there is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under the heavens. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time to plant and there's a time to uproot. We do not know why it was the right time 2,000 years ago when God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth. But we know that the prevailing condition 2,000 years ago was the right time, humanly speaking, because God's people, the Jewish people at that time, they were suffering and under oppression. In 586 BC, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple of Jerusalem, and the people of God were exiled to Babylon. They were scattered all over the world. And then in 332 BC, history tells us that Alexander the Great came and conquered Israel and Jerusalem. And then in 32 BC, the Roman king Caesar Augustus came and conquered Israel and also Jerusalem. The people of God were scattered all over the world. Those that were remaining in Jerusalem and Israel, they were hungry for a savior that God promises in the Old Testament. The time was right for God to send his Son to rescue God's people from oppression. And not only that, when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, Israel and the world were under the Roman Empire. And there's a word called Pax Romana, which means at that time when Jesus was born, there was peace over the Roman Empire throughout the length and breadth. There was peace, and the Roman Emperor built a vast network of roads that were paved from north to south, east to west, so that people were connected and able to travel from one place to another. You don't need any visa to travel. There is security and safety because there are garrisons of Roman soldiers positioned all over the Roman Empire. And if the gospel message was to be spread, it will be the best time. And not only that, in the Roman Empire, the lingua franca, or the common language that was spoken, was the Greek language. And Greek language is a beautiful and a rich language that bridges and links all people throughout the Roman Empire. And in fact, our Bible, the New Testament, is written in Greek. And since everyone in the Roman Empire can speak Greek and understand Greek, it was easy for the gospel to be spread throughout the length and breadth of the Roman Empire. It was the right time for God to send His Son 2,000 years ago. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the right sacrifice. Because we learn that at creation, when God created the first man and woman and Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve disobeyed God because they wanted to be like God, and so they ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Adam disobeyed God and sin entered the whole world. And Adam's sin brought death. So death came to everyone because everyone sinned. If there's anyone here who has not sinned, who has not lied, who has not cheated, who has not stolen, who has not done anything wrong, can I ask you to raise your hand? And if you raise your hand, you have sinned because you have lied. And so everyone sinned, and death came to everyone. And the death is an eternal death of condemnation to the place of torment, which is hell. But because sin entered the world, God, in His amazing love and grace and mercy, He gave the law. And the law was for the forgiveness of our sin, to cleanse our sin. And the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 9 says that the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so God commanded Moses that because of the sin of the world, because of the sin of God's people, Moses and the God's people are to offer animal sacrifices. There must be the shedding of blood so that the people's sin will be forgiven. So whenever the people sin, they will then slaughter the animal, and the blood of the animal, which is life, substitutes our death because the animal died for us. And this has to be done every day, every month, and every year because men sin every day, every month, and every year. And if that is so, God say, Moses, while you are in the wilderness for 40 years, I want you to build a tabernacle, a temple. And inside the temple, the Holy of Holies, my presence will be with you. But there you are to offer sacrifices to me for the forgiveness of the sin that you commit every day. And the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, but those animal sacrifices were just an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible. I just want to repeat, the Word of God say that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away your sins. How can the animal blood take away man's sin? And the Bible tells us that the law for the forgiveness of sin by the sacrifice of animal is only a shadow. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, the reality. So the sacrifice of animal and the shedding of animal blood is not the right sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. It is a precursor, a forerunner, and a shadow of the real thing that is coming. And what is the real thing that is coming? The real thing that is coming is the right sacrifice. And what is the right sacrifice? God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was pregnant. That is not pregnant, huh? Jesus Christ was born of Virgin Mary, His mother. And Jesus Christ was in Virgin Mary's womb for 9 months and had a normal delivery. And that means that Jesus had a physical birth. And because Jesus has a physical birth, like all of us here have physical birth. And because we have a physical birth, Jesus Christ is fully man and therefore subject to the law. But Jesus Christ is not only fully man. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is also fully God. Because Virgin Mary was conceived, when Virgin Mary conceived Jesus Christ was conceived not with the seed of Joseph, the father, and the seed of the mother, Virgin Mary. The Bible in Matthew chapter 1 tells us that Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. They were not married yet. And before Joseph and Mary came together, Virgin Mary was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. The conception of Jesus Christ was through the Holy Spirit. And that is why 1 Peter chapter 2, 22 says that Jesus committed no sin. No deceit was found in Jesus' mouth. In other words, Jesus Christ, when He was born, He is not only fully man subject to the law, Jesus Christ was fully God without sin. And that is why Jesus Christ is the right sacrifice. He is the reality and not the shadow. And only the right sacrifice of Jesus Christ can buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. And all of us are slaves to the law because we commit sin every day and we continue to commit sin. It is as if that we are the slave and sin is the master. And this word slaves remind God's people that in the year 1500 BC, God's people were actually slaves. And they were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And they were slaves for like 400 years. 1.5 million God's people, the Jewish people, were slaves and oppressed and abused and tormented. Many of God's people, the Jewish people, died in Egypt. And so they cried out to God, Yahweh, please rescue us. Please buy freedom from us because we are slaves. And as slaves, God needs to buy freedom. That is what we call redemption. And that is what happened. During the 10th plague, the last plague, God told Moses to tell all the Israelites that on the night when the angel of death come knocking at your door, God's people must sacrifice the blood of the Passover lamb. You are to slaughter the Passover lamb. What is the Passover lamb? The Passover lamb must be a male lamb that is 1 year old, male, 1 year old, and without defect. There is no scarring, no spotting, and the lamb must not be blind or crippled. It must be perfect, and you are to sacrifice the Passover lamb. And then you are to take the blood of the Passover lamb and to paint over the doorpost, the top and the side, so that on the night when the angel of death come knocking at the door of all the household in Egypt, when the angel of death sees the blood of the Passover lamb, the angel of death will pass over and not enter the house. For those house, the Egyptian house, where there is no blood of the Passover lamb, the angels of death enter into their house and kill the firstborn male. In the morning, when everyone woke up, the Egyptians were crying and Pharaoh was crying because all the first male were killed by the angel of death. And that is the Passover lamb, the redemption price that the Israelites have to pay. And today, as we celebrate Christmas, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is indeed our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says that for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The Passover lamb in Egypt is only a shadow. The Passover lamb today, 2,000 years ago, in Christ Jesus, he is the reality. And Jesus Christ is the right sacrifice because he is fully man, subject to the law, and he is also fully God without sin. And because Jesus Christ is without sin, he fulfilled the law. Last Sunday, I was going to a church and I was a bit surprised because this was in Subang, you know, the church in Subang. And because it was a Sunday morning, it was very quiet. And then I saw this shop. Maybe some of you have not seen before. I was a bit surprised because I come from Ipoh, and Ipoh people are poor people. And then there are a lot of these pawn shops around in Ipoh. But in KL, right in the heart of Subang, I found that there's also many pawn shops. And in this pawn shop, we all know that for those people who are poor and need of cash, quick cash, you can actually take your jewelry like golden bangle. And then you go to the pawn shop and then you tell the owner, how much can I pawn my golden bangle? And the pawn shop owner may say it's 1,000 ringgit. But then there is an interest of 1.5% per month. And in 6 months' time, you must come and buy back your bangle, redeem your bangle at a redemption price. If you don't redeem, it becomes mine. And what is the redemption price? It is 1,090 ringgit. And God redeemed us. God redeemed all of us, humanity, because he loves us and he wants to adopt us into God's family, the family of Christ. And I come to my last point. 2,000 years ago, at the right time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the right sacrifice, the Passover lamb, for the forgiveness of all our sins. And the reason God sent his son to buy freedom for us is so that he can adopt us. Each and every one of us can be adopted as his very own children. And in under Roman law, if you are adopted as a child in the family, you actually enjoy all the legal rights as a natural children. There is no difference. And this morning, God may be speaking to all of us here. That during this celebration of Christmas, God wants to adopt you as his own children. And he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And he loves you. Will you enter into that family of Christ? In the family of Christ, there is peace with God because our relationship with God that was broken during Adam's time is reconciled and restored. So we have peace with God, and that is why God can adopt us as children. But just now, as you see the skit, not only Christians have peace with God, we also have peace with man. No matter whether you are old or young, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are famous or not famous, whether you are clever or not clever, in God's eye, in God's family, everyone is equal in importance. Everyone is equal in your worth and value. No one is to be left out, especially when you have heart attack. So God has told us that the greatest command is to love God and also to love one another, our neighbors. And God says that if we are God's children means we are heir of God. And if we are heir of God, we have this inheritance with Jesus Christ. And that inheritance is for all children of God. That one day when we die the physical death, we don't die the spiritual death, the second death. The second death is to die in heaven. For us who are in the family of God, when we die the physical death, we don't die the second death, the spiritual death, but we enter into heaven where the family of God exists. So God sent His Son to die for us so that we can be adopted as His children, and then we become this big family of Christ, and our inheritance one day will be to be in heaven where the big family of God is. And not only that, God says when we are His children, He sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God into our hearts. For those of us who believe in Christ, Christ sent the Spirit of God into our hearts. And that Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14 says that the Spirit of God inside us is a guarantee, is a seal that He will fulfill His promise that one day we will inherit the heavenly kingdom and have eternal life. How wonderful that God would send His Spirit to dwell inside us. And finally, the Spirit of God inside us prompts us to call God Abba Father. The word Abba is actually an Aramaic word, which means daddy. And daddy, as you see just now, is a word of an endearment, and that is very affectionate, that is very personal. My children don't call me father, you know. My children call me daddy, because that is a very lovely word that is very personal. And Jesus Christ, when He was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane before He was arrested and crucified, what did He call His Father in heaven? He called Abba Father. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup away, but not my will, but your will. And today, we are so privileged that we are adopted into God's family. And we can call God Abba, a word of endearment. In conclusion, the celebration of Christmas is actually celebrating 2,000 years ago. At the right time, God sent His Son, born of a woman subject to the law, and Jesus Christ is the right sacrifice for the forgiveness of all our sins. And now we are in the family of Christ, and we call God Abba Father. Lastly, I want to share with you, 2 months ago, I was preaching in another church, and I was very surprised because before they invited me to share the word of God, they invited this man in pink. The one in blue is the pastor. Because the man is leaving the church, so they invited him to come and give him a farewell gift. At the same time, he tell the man, he's a Punjabi man, to share his testimony. And the first thing this man came up in the front in the church, he said that, "You all know that I'm not a Christian today. I'm still not a Christian. I've been here from India." He's a genetic scientist with his wife. "I've been here," he says, "for 4 years. And for 4 years, I've attended your church. Every Sunday, I've joined your care group. Although I'm not a Christian, I just felt that I'm in this family of God, that you love me so much, and I've never received such love from people. I really treasure your love and your time with me. My wife has gone back because my wife has delivered a daughter. And now I'll be going back in 3 or 4 days' time. I just want to thank all of you, the family of God, although I'm not a Christian, so much. And remember, if you ever go to India, I am in Vellore. Come to my house, because my house is your house. And I was sitting there in front, and my heart was moved. There was this man who is in the family of Christ and who heard that Jesus Christ, the right, sacrificed. But he thought that there was never a right time for him to believe in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit convicted me that when I come and share the Word of God, I need to speak to him, and the Holy Spirit will speak deep into his heart. And halfway through my sermon, my eyes and his eyes locked. And I shared the gospel of Christ with him. After the service was over, I was having fellowship with the church members. And after about half an hour, I was leaving and going to my car. And there came this man, the Punjabi man, and he came to me and he asked me a few questions. He was troubled. And I told him that maybe today is the right time. Today may be the right time because you are going back to India. And your people in India are all not Christian. And God actually wants to bless you today. And God wants you to accept him as his Lord and Savior. And unless and until you are blessed by God, when you go back to India, you cannot be a blessing to your people. Will you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior now? And he was moved by the Holy Spirit. And he said, Dr. Tai, yes, I want to receive Christ right now. And I called the pastor who was in blue. And he came and said the sinner's prayer with this Punjabi man before he goes back to India. And that night, the elder went to his house. And the elder subsequently came and talked to me. And he says, Dr. Tai, you know what? When I went to his house that night to say farewell to him, he was a changed man. He was in the family of Christ. He knows Jesus Christ, the right Savior. But he never accepted Christ inside his heart. And now I can see that fire in him, that now that he is a child of God, he says that I want to go back to India and be baptized. I want my wife to be baptized and my children to be baptized, and I want to share the Word of God with my people who are lost, who are seeking. And he just thanked the church. So this morning, in the same way, there are many of you here, maybe. You have heard the gospel message many times. Maybe today is the right time. Today may be the right time for you because the Spirit of God spoke to you deep into your heart. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for you came down 2,000 years ago to die for our sin. Abba Father, thank you for sending your Son to save us for the forgiveness of our sin. Thank you, Lord, for touching the hearts of your people. And if any of you here is touched by the Spirit of God and God is speaking to you into your heart, that you have heard the gospel message for the first time or maybe for many times, and you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart because today is the right time and it's between you and God, I just want to give you the opportunity for you to raise your hand. Raise your hand as a sign that you want to receive Christ into your life and you want to join the family of God this morning. Do not be shy because this is an important event in your life. Your life will be transformed forever. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Will you please raise your hand? If you want to receive Christ into your life, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago so that he will die on the cross And his blood that was shed was for you. Will you respond and raise your hand as a sign that you want to receive Christ into your life? If you honor God, God will honor you. Maybe some of us here have been coming to church for many years, and we may have lost our first love for Christ. We have been busy with our work, with our family, with all our activities, and we felt that God is so far away, that life has no purpose. Maybe you would like to recommit and rededicate your life once again to Jesus and ask Jesus to help you to live a life that is more meaningful, that you can grow to love Him more and more. If you want to rededicate and recommit your life, would I ask you to raise up your hand as a sign of commitment? Please don't be shy. As we start the new year 2019, it is a brand new year for us if we have Jesus Christ in our life and He is our first love. Would you put up your hand as a sign of commitment to live a new life in Christ, that you will put Him first? Lord Jesus, you see the hands that have been raised, and many of your people are passionate about your mission for their life, that they can grow in Christ-likeness, they can grow to serve you and love you more and more. Lord Jesus, we ask that your Holy Spirit will work in their lives, in their work, in their family, in every corner of their life, so that they will grow in maturity and understanding. They will grow in knowledge of you, in wisdom, in good works, so that through their lives, your name will be glorified. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you.